Jesus, I So now we're gonna have prayer and praise. And is it Rob? Who's doing that?
Rob.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in on this wonderful day. It'll be a little less windy, but it's still a beautiful day. My name is Rob. Praise and worship is a time, I think, that we all need to go through getting closer to God. And I really believe that praising Him is very important. It's constantly providing for us, giving us, constantly opening doors for us, helping us through our struggles that make us even stronger. So I want to open up with prayer, and then I'll go around and ask everybody. Father God, we come to you today on this wonderful day that you've created with planes and everything flying around. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together here in this moment. I thank you, Father Christ, and I pray all of you well. So is there anybody here that has any praise or worship or anything they want to praise on?
Yeah.
Adam?
I want to praise Ken Seaton for believing in me. And Jason Craveld for helping me up with Terry.
Is that like your boss or?
No, he's a cop, man.
Oh, okay.
Cop on San Juan Island. Yeah, that was the chain, but with Terry. Okay.
No. Yeah.
Leave it.
Anybody else?
Rob, I'd like to ask people to think about praying for Scott Smith and Aberdeen, maybe possibly writing a letter to your board to encourage his release, even though you don't know him. Scott has been in prison, I think, 43 years now, and he has a chance of being released this coming spring, and he would fit in well at the church. He's a believer. He's been a believer for almost 15 years, and he needs to be out, and he wants to come here, and he would be willing to write a letter saying that you would at least support him, and the church would welcome him. I'd appreciate a little form with the address and everything for anybody who might be willing to write.
That's wonderful, man. Yes, yeah, we could always, that's a perfect thing for praise right there, for real. I mean, there isn't people like that that get that kind of a chance too often. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord's hands on it. Anybody else?
Would you like to remember Deanna?
To our new member, Deanna?
No, I'd like to remember Deanna.
Yeah.
She was our kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, one of our kindergarten teachers, Jenna. Yeah, she was a good teacher. Well, hopefully we'll find somebody that the Lord sends that'll
least half refill this year.
And I'd also like to remember OPS, the whole thing that mess about opening, how to open the
section. Anybody else? Happy Sabbath, everybody. There's a couple of requests here coming over the Zoom. Anna is praying for housing for the Rivera family, for her friend Michael, and a friend whose daughter is dealing with cancer. Also, safety for those in the path of the hurricane back east, those dealing with heat and related health challenges. I just wanted to say, speaking about back east, I'm from Washington, D.C. originally, and a friend that I went to high school with contacted me yesterday. And with everything that's going on, he wants to get out of Washington, D.C. His parents are elderly and they need care. And his mother has just been stricken with cancer. His name is Ray. And so I want to pray for Ray and his desire to follow God and do his duty and take care of his parents. So we can remember him in prayer. Anybody else? There's some praise going on around here.
I don't praise. My family was in Hawaii. They were worried about the hurricane. And it came through and nothing happened. So.
Man, they protected. That's why.
It didn't rain.
Our Sam was there. Anybody else? This is the time to lay it down at his feet. Okay. Same age. God, we come to you. We thank you for these wonderful requests, wonderful praise, Lord. We thank thank you for all the wonderful things you're doing in all of our lives, all the things that you have done, all the things you're going to do, Father. I thank you for protecting all those of us that need protecting and healing all of those that need to be healed. I pray for your hand to be on each and every person here and their families and loved ones and all the situations that are just brought before you, Lord. I lay it at your feet. I ask that you hear and anoint these situations, Lord. Put your hand in that situation. Breathe on them, whatever, Lord. But I pray that your mightiness would be involved in all of our lives, Lord. Teach us to be the men and women and children we need to be for you, Lord, to be those mentors to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm going to read a passage to everybody here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and above and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love conquers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Happy Sabbath. Oh. So, before we start with the sermon, maybe you can do a story for the kiddos. Yeah? Yeah, I have a great story. One of my favorites of all time, actually. It's about a Christian during the time of the Romans called Arcanian. Okay, his name is Arcanian. Arcanian was a slave, and he was working in the Colosseum. You know what the Colosseum was about? It's where the Romans would gather all these people, and they would fight each other. And sometimes they had animals that they fought. And so Arcanian was in charge of taking care of the animals. Like, Arcanian would feed the animals, and sometimes even, you know, to take care of them when they got hurt, like they got cut or damaged in these fights. Arcanian was in charge of a specific lion, a really big lion, right? And he was kind of scary. He's like, oh, what if this lion like fights back? And this lion was really badly hurt. Cuts on his legs, you know, bleeding out a little bit. Arcanian did his job, and he took care of his lion, nursed him back to health, fed him really well, showed him more than just care, but also love. So Arcanian took care of his lion. One day, the Romans thought, you know, it'd be fun if we put Arcanian in the Colosseum. Now, Arcanian was not a fighter. He was a healer, a person who would work on the animals. I don't know how to fight. And the Romans thought, you know, it would be more interesting is if we put Arcanian with that lion he just healed up. Oh, no. Arcanian was so worried. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. But God, please protect me. Somehow make it happen. And so Arcanian gets sent out to the Colosseum. He's given a sword. And then this lion comes out, right? The one he just worked on and healed and loved on. And the lion comes up roaring, roar! I can't roar very loud, you know, I'm not a lion. But he's out there. Yeah, just like that. He's out there. Arcanian's scared and he just puts down the sword. He doesn't want to fight the lion. You know, if he's going to die, and this time he's going to die. I'm just going to commit to it. I'm just going to kill it, see, you know, this is the way God intended. And as he put down the sword, a lion approached him. Doosh, 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 doosh. Came up close. Arcanian's so scared, he just closes his eyes, right? Ah! It screams out. The lion sniffs him a little bit. He recognizes him. And as that happens, the lion turns around and runs up the Colosseum stairs and runs off. Peony looks up. Where's that lion? It's gone. What happened? Well, a few weeks later, Arcanian escapes. He's running from the Romans. He runs through the forest, it's the woods. He gets to this cave, right? Oh, this is a perfect cave for me to hide in. And he sneaks in there, finds a nice warm spot. He falls asleep. He wakes up from the sound of a twig snapping. I don't know the good sound, but you know, snapping twig. And he gets up real early. Is a Romans here? And all he hears is a in the background. Did I enter a cave with a bear? And now Arcanian has two choices. Just like that, you're right. And as he's looking, he says, I can either turn and face this bear or I can try to run out this cave. Arcanian says, no, I'm gonna try to face this bear. Yeah. Again, if it's my time to die, God will make it happen. So Arcanian turns to face the bear, and as the creature starts to come out of the darkness of the cave, right? Because caves are dark. The creature comes out. Arcanian closes his eyes and screams again, ah, let's go die. And he hears this thing goes, and what? He's smelling it? And he opens his eyes, and guess who it is? It's the lion. It's the lion that he saved. And the lion just licks things, happy to see him. You know, when you and I, at some point in our lives, decide we focus on ourselves and we forget about Jesus, we tend to think that when we come back to Jesus, it's hard for us to be accepted again. So hard for us to be wanted again. But just like this lion, Jesus is always wanting to see us. Like, or just like your dogs you have at home, right? The dogs are always, when you go to school or you go out for something, ice cream maybe, and you come back, are your dogs happy to see you? Yeah, they're so, right, all over the place. Like, hey, whole bigly. I have a puppy home. I know how it goes. And Jesus is the same way. Every single time you decide, I want to come back to see Jesus, Jesus is there. He's happy to see you. But even better is just to be with him at all times. So that is the children's story for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Yeah. And let's bow our heads one more time for prayer for my sermon. Again, the word. Heavenly Father, as we enter into work, we just ask that your spirit be among us. Help us to understand scripture and your thoughts and the gifts and purposes of our life. And yes, amen. So just a reminder, we're in our study in 1 Peter, chapter 4. We've been going through 1 Peter each chapter every week. And just, you know, before I even go into review, I just want to start with this. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. And 1 Peter 4, verse 1 begins with this first word. Therefore. Right? So everything that's coming after this word is building on the summary that came before. And so what did we cover before this? Well, in chapter 1, Peter reveals some of the more core concepts of what a life of Christ looks like. So identity in him, having hope, living a life that is holy, or being like him. And in chapter 2, he covers how those concepts are intertwined with each other, how our hope and our identity is tied into understanding who God made us to be, what does that look like, and then the idea of being holy and having hope is that as we spend time with Jesus, the more we become like him. Not because we do any work, but because of virtue of being around his righteousness in him. And in chapter 3, he starts to divert away from the self and into the idea of servicing others. Now in chapter 4, where we're picking up, ooh, it's really windy. I should have brought my iPad out instead of my Bible. All right, so it says in chapter 4, verse 1, continuing, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And this is one of the most important factors of Christianity, right? And most important factor of living with God. And it's this. It's not about you. I'm going to say it again. It's not about you. That's tough to hear, isn't it? I want to be about me. I got to focus on me. I got to make myself better. I wanna do the things I wanna do. But Peter is making a focus. You know, once you discover your life role with Jesus and he's given you purpose and you discover that, it's not about you. It's about what does Christ do? And as we continue reading it, 1 Peter 4, verse 2. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. For he has spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in the reckless wild livings and the heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge them, the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel is preached even to those who are now dead, that they may be judged according to human standard in regard to the body, but live accordingly to God in regard to the spirit. And then he says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober minded so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over the multitudes of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve one another as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that all things may God be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forevermore. Amen. This is concept, right? If it's not about you, then who is it about? Well, if we're to follow in Christ's footsteps, it says in chapter 3, it says, he's died for the just and the unjust, for your life and my life, for the righteous and the unrighteous. And the whole purpose saying it's not about you is because when you can get lost in the things he says, like debauchery, idolatry, all these things. And when it comes down to the point of it all, Peter is making a note. Whether we grasp it or not, the sin comes down to these simple things. This simple decision. Am I going to choose what God wants me to do, or am I going to choose what I want to do? And the choice Peter is saying to make is just choose what God wants you to do. Now, as we continue to read in 1 Peter chapter 4, I think about the journey it has. Okay, I'm the oldest of three siblings, and I'm older than my brother about 5 years and my sister about 7. And so that age difference kind of creates a little bit of a disparity between you and your son, right? They're close in age, so they're really tight, but you're so far older than them, they don't really see you as a peer, but they don't see you as an authority in life, you know? I don't know what's up with that. I'm the older sibling. You're supposed to listen to me. But getting your siblings to do what's better for everyone in the family is so hard to do. There are times where I was home with them, I was watching them, and we're supposed to do these lists of chores, right? You know, we all had these chores growing up. And as the oldest child, you're in charge of making sure your siblings do their chores so that you guys, when my parents come home, we don't get spanky, like whatever you guys want to call it. And you know, there's also chores that we do more of that we get incentivized to, like money or treats, whatever it is. Now, as an older sibling, I would constantly try to like encourage my brother and my sister, like, hey, you know, instead of playing your games, why don't we finish your chores? And then you can play your games. Can you imagine what the reaction was? Forget you, Grayson. We don't need to do that. I want to play right now. And truly, you know, I'd finish my chores, and my brother especially would never finish chores. We come home, and guess who got in trouble? All of us. We all got spankings because of my brother. And I think we're kind of like that. As people, you know, as children of God, we get caught up in ourselves and we don't do the things God has asked us to do. And the consequence of doing those things, not doing those things, doesn't just hurt ourselves or us as individuals, but it hurts the people around us. Ooh, how we... Oh. And it is such a sad thing, because when we do what God wants us to do, amazing things can happen. So let's look and see what happens when we do what God wants to do. In verse 12, chapter 4, it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come unto you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in much as you participate in sufferings of Christ, that you may be overlooked when his glory is revealed." Scripture, Paul, Peter is saying that when you do the thing God wants you to do, you're not going to get much credit for it. Is that tough to hear? I don't know about you, but I like getting credit for doing the things that I did. You know, like, I was not a very diligent student. I'm sorry, Andy and Kate, right? I wasn't a very diligent student. I could float my grades pretty easily by test taking, but I never wanted to do my homework. But there was one moment where my friends all made honor roll. I remember this in middle school. They made honor roll, and I was like, huh. And I got to see it go up stage. You know, I got a handshake, and they all got to wave their hands on the stage. You know, there's a school of like 800 of us. And I'm like, yo, I want to be up there too. I want to be up there, my friends. And I remember working one hard one semester to do that and getting up there. But, you know, the motivation to be recognized is strong within us. We want credit. But Peter's saying it's not about that. Because, again, that would be about you. And it's not about you. In verse 14, "If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed." So, building on this, you don't get credit, but you will get put down. You will be tossed into the dirt for this. I don't know about you, but this is starting out to sound very nice. You know, if you were Christian during this time, right, you just got a letter from Peter. Peter was really building on his ideas, like, hey, you know, like, these are the concepts that will help build your faith. These are how these concepts work together. But hey, before, you know, all that said, you know, this is the mission. This is the purpose that, you know, you've connected to Christ. And this is what happens when you do it. I would be discouraged, wouldn't you? No, you wouldn't. You know why? Because there's something amazing with being with Jesus. And we all know that. We all know that when you connect to God, and we all experience that connection, it is addicting, is it not? There's a certain level of fulfilled now. Oh, yeah. You get what I'm saying? Being filled that you cannot find in anything else. And you want to share that with anybody and everybody that you see. Even so, to the point where you don't get credit for it, you'll get suffered for it. But it's all good, because here's why. If you suffer, you should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other criminal or as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. Now, one of my, I guess you could say, grandmas in church, she told me these very important things growing up. She says, "Grayson, people will always talk about you. Always talk. No matter what you do, they will always talk about you. Let the talk about you be about something good, though." And that really stuck with me, right? Because no matter what you do, to someone, you're known for something. And what would you rather be known for? Would you be rather known for, you know, Grayson, like, oh, you know, that guy's good at basketball. I mean, that'd be nice. Right? I mean, hey, feels good. Or, hey, maybe, you know, Grayson, that guy has a nice car. Yeah. Forerunner, I like it. Andy, he plays a really nice guitar, you know? Oh, yeah. You know, add on to things that you could be known for. And those are not very bad things, but they're also very bad things that you could be known for. Well, wouldn't it be better to be known as, hey, that guy or that lady, they're real Christians. I mean, they live their life as they say they do. If that is what is being talked about, is because of the work we do, praise God. Amen? Now, as he builds on this idea, as you know, the sufferings for Christ, you know, it's okay. You know, if you do these things, you get put down. It's all right. You're a Christian. That's what happens to us. For his time, in verse 17, for his time for the judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will it be outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? And, you know, Peter's really sticking this point out. If the house of God, the people of God, don't come up as his people, how can we expect the rest of the world to come up as his people when the time comes? How can we expect that our neighbors to desire or see that God is good if we don't show that God is good in our own world? Continue in verse 18. It is hard for the righteous to be saved. What will it become of the godly and the sinner? So then those who suffer according to God should commit themselves to the faithful Creator and continue to do good. I think there's this constant struggle, right? I know there's this constant struggle in our walk and our faith with God. The constant struggle to do good. Not just talking about, you know, doing good deeds, but being attached to the one who is good and doing his purpose. That's what I mean by doing good. And those good deeds come, you know, they come accordingly when you do God's purpose. You know, I think about when we do our clothing drive, or there's certain times individually we're helping people in our neighborhoods see God, whether it's a helping hand, whether it's a smile. I mean, it's kind of hard to show a smile nowadays when you're wearing a mask and all. But you can show in your eyes, I guess, you know? Whatever it may be, those things matter. Those things matter than what you want to do for yourselves. And I want to leave with this point today, and that Peter really kind of hammered in chapter 4, and I was echoing that thought. It's not about you. It's about the work God's giving you. And doing that will. Because one, it will fill you. Two, it will boost the work that God has intended to do amongst the people. Three, it will encourage others to continue to find their work in them. To do their work in them. You know, the islands are blessed in this time, right? We, as much as we like to complain about the struggles that we have here, those are real struggles too. We are sort of cut off from the outside struggles of this world, right? Like, we don't have crazy riots here, or, you know, we don't have extreme poverty to an extent that, you know, I'm what I'm saying is that we are blessed. But in that bubble that we sometimes are in, it's hard to remember that we need God. You know, and it's hard to remind someone who has a good life, like, hey, you're in need of something, and you're missing it. But I think, and I know I should say, that as we continue to live our life according with him, live our life according to his purpose, living a life according to what he is guiding us to do, there's a certain level of attractiveness that will be seen in you that is desirable and people want that. And especially in this time, as I don't know if you guys, I turn on the news for like 30 seconds and I turn sour. I get pretty sour really fast. Like, what is going on with this crazy world? And many of you probably felt that way for, I don't know, a long time already. But as I turn it on, the more I'm like, I just don't want to deal with this. I need to find a better outlet. And I pray that, and I know there are people in this community that have that same feeling. They want a different outlet. They want something better for themselves, but for those around them. And I hope that you and I can continue to be a beacon of what a different outlet could look like, what the life of God could look like. Let's pray together. Jesus, we know that it's not about us. It's about you and the purpose you've given us, the mission. And I pray that you just continue to use us in a way that connects us to our neighbors here on the island, neighbors in our homes, around our homes, and help to encourage them to seek you and desire you. And you know, if there's barriers in our way, whether it's ourselves or other people, we just to invite you to remove those barriers and help them to draw closer to you. And we ask this for you. Amen. I think Andy has some music for us to finish off. Right?
Say that again?
You have some music for us to finish off service? Cool. All right, guys, have a good day and happy Sabbath.
Thank you.